Self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello, welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Happy Labor Day. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we have a special show for you today. This is the first in a series of shows all about boundaries with registered clinical counselor and registered marriage and family therapist, Joanne Weiler. She's also author of the book The Breakup Breakthrough, and she is going to be talking all about boundaries today. So let's just jump right in. First of all, how's your holiday Monday going?
Oh, I know. Happy Labor Day.
Yay.
You know, it's great, actually. I've just been looking forward to getting started on this series. And Marie, and I love your intro to your show, that we can create positive change. And that's kind of the initiative behind, creating a space to share some ideas about boundaries.
Awesome. So just so everyone is on the same page, what does boundaries mean to you?
Well, you know what? I just wrote a blog about the topic, and if anybody wants to pull it up on their computer, they can do that right now at joanneweiler.com. But boundaries, basically, we all we have a physical boundary. Of course, we can't walk into each other without, getting, bruises. And the same is true emotionally. And so I've got kind of an acronym to understand why it's important to have boundaries. And then I'll explain the sort of three ways that we kind of think of boundaries. But my acronym is LINE. So this idea of listen to the symptoms of burnout that show up in your life, because generally, when your relationships are getting bumpy and there's just, sort of stress at work and people aren't seeing eye to eye, oftentimes it's because boundaries haven't been expressed. And you'll feel it in your body, and just kind of checking in with the tension that you might have in your heart or turning in your stomach or just, this sort of an anxiety that you'd feel and experience in your body. That's kind of your first step of listening to the symptoms of burnout. Some of the symptoms would be as well that you just start kind of feeling alone in your projects or sort of not very inspired. And then I is identify the ways that you can take responsibility for change as it's needed. And I'll describe how, when you get into that, there's ways you can communicate your boundaries in a clear way. And N is saying no sometimes. You know, one of the hardest things is actually drawing the line at times to say, no, I can't do that thing, or no, that's not okay with me. And for lots of reasons, saying no is really difficult, and we can get into that. My last word on this acronym of LINE is empathy, E for empathy and positive energy. And that comes from learning how to express your boundaries. Because when you do, there's sort of an ease in the safety of the relationship that you are really showing up, saying what you're feeling, and creating a space to actually understand the other person as well. Because, we've always got kind of two things going. And, does that make sense? And so, boundaries are thought to be, three categories, kind of, the kind of person that is, doesn't have, like they don't have very defined boundaries. You'd think of them as being diffuse in their style. And they kind of tend to say, oh, no problem. And yet there is a problem. They're upset. And they feel overstepped, and they tend to kind of be pleasing. They want the world to, just get along. They want to avoid conflict. But, of course, over time, the relationship has more and more difficulty, and eventually the partnership, whether it's at work or at home, starts to dilute and fall away.
All right. So I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
So we can go back and talk about line. So, because I want everyone to be able to follow.
Yeah.
So line, the purpose of this acronym, what's the purpose of this acronym is it's a tool?
Yeah, it's a tool to make it easy for you to just kind of think, okay, if your body is kind of feeling, if you're feeling the symptoms of burnout and things just aren't going very well and you're not feeling very inspired in your life, if you think of the acronym LINE, are you drawing the line in the sand for yourself? Are you living, expressing your boundaries and living honestly, really, you know, like saying what you need and letting others work with you? Because I really think we're kind of like, we do better when we're working together. Like, you know, I so appreciated you inviting me on this show today so that we can share some ideas together.
Thank you. All right. Well, I want to go over, and I'm so glad that you're here and so passionate about this topic because I think it's really important. Mm. So the tool line is, it represents you drawing the line in the sand, which is a perfect metaphor for a boundary. And so L for listen to the symptoms of burnout.
Yeah, because if you feel kind of, kind of lost, right? Like sometimes, I mean, I know myself, sometimes if I've been seeing too many clients or whatever, I can feel, kind of exhausted. And I really have to draw the line as well for myself to how many clients I see and making sure I'm, you know, doing something for myself at the end of the day to transition into before I go home, you know, go for a run or do things like that. So there's a boundary of time.
And then I is identify how you can take responsibility
for the change. Yeah. So, you know, taking, because it's hard to have that conversation. Like it's, sometimes it's easier to be pleasing and not say anything to that person that you feel has been swamping you. It could be at work that you're just getting too much landed on your desk, and you know it's just becoming overwhelming. You can't kind of keep up, and they will just continue to overstep your boundaries if you don't say, "Hey, look at this is my pile," you know, and it's ever mounting, and I'm feeling overwhelmed. You know, it's really up to us to be able to express that experience so that the other person can then have compassion and empathy to really go, oh, I get it. I wasn't thinking. I just thought you were a superhero, you know, because we don't intend to overstep each other's boundaries, of course, but it happens. And so identify it the ways that you can take responsibility, because I think oftentimes if you aren't really clear about the ways that you can speak up and express, you know, what you need, then, you're sort of taking yourself out of a powerful position to be able to create the change that's needed. And, you know, when you're anxious because the work is kind of, I'm just going to use work as an example, if it's piling up on your desk and you don't say anything, then your brain gets more and more anxious and you'll find yourself not working in a creative synchronicity, thinking of your radio show, with others around you, right? So they then start to pick up on your anxiety. And, you know, you kind of get out of that zone that makes us work really well as a team, you know, because it's you're thinking that you don't have that power to create the change, but you do. And
all right, and we're going to talk about that this hour and then the next few
shows. It's a big topic. That's why, you know, I'm so grateful that we've got these, you know, four shows to kind of go through it, because there's lots to cover. But I really believe that when it becomes clear, like the light bulb goes on, and actually relationships just become so much, have so much more ease, and life just is supported, and we can do more together.
All right. Well, let's keep focused on this line here. So listen to symptoms of burnout. I is identify how you can take responsibility for the change. N is easy. That's the no. Knowing how to say no.
I know. No is, just that clear ability to say, you know, when you've actually got to your limit, when that pile has got up too high. And so whether it's on your desk or it's, you know, just a pattern between you and a friend or something like that, or a problem in your relationship with someone, it's starting to sort of say, no, you know what, we really need to talk about this. And so you're literally putting the line in the sand to say, okay, we've got to talk now about this because this has to change.
All right. So and I'm confused because no is pretty simple. So is it no, or is it we have to talk about this?
Yeah, no more, right? No, it could be no, like just you might say just no, you can't put that file on the desk. Or you might say, this is a pattern. Let's look at changing this. But you're basically saying to yourself that no more.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the line there.
And then E is empathy and positive energy. And now is that's empathy for yourself and the other person?
Yes. Because with the clear communication about your boundaries, you can also be open to the other person's experience and their boundaries. And so all of a sudden, you know, the relationship isn't complicated. You know, it's really, and there is more empathy because the person is, you know, expressing, you know, I felt this when you did that, or, you know, I just, let's just keep staying with that example of the desk. Like, I just assumed that I had to keep, you know, trying to keep up with all of these files. I didn't realize that you could actually delegate this to somebody else, or that it could wait until, you know, I've caught up. So you have empathy for the other person rather than sort of convincing yourself into a story that, you know, that they are intending to swamp you.
Because the thing is, and we're going to talk about this, we all have different boundaries. So unless you communicate them, people aren't going to know what they are.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And boundaries will change depending on what's going on at the time. Like if you're going through a lot of changes, you might have, you know, stronger boundaries because you just don't have the same energy that you have when things are just going along easily. And boundaries can also be sort of expressed in a rigid way too, from, you know, if you don't have the ability or the tools to really believe that you can actually matter to this other person, or that you actually, you know, are going to get a positive result. You know, you might have like a rigid boundary, and that actually generally is probably going to result in a lot of drama and ups and downs and lots of relationship cutoffs. So it's not ideal. The most ideal type of style of boundary is a boundary that's flexible. It's clear and it's flexible. And the flexibility comes from that capacity to, you know, really express your own experience and also be open to understand the other person.
So let's talk about the three types of boundaries that you have brought up so far: diffuse, rigid, and flexible.
Yes. So diffuse is kind of, it's just kind of the sense of being really pleasing, you know, and wanting to maintain a relationship no matter what. And so that person tends to not say what their experience is, because you know what, you just want to avoid the conflict. And so, and that can be okay for a while, but after a while, you'll either sort of find yourself feeling anxious or even depressed, you know, because if you're kind of living your life like everything goes and your boundaries don't matter, eventually you start to believe that you don't matter. And of course, you know, that is not realistic. You know, we all matter, you know. And so we can kind of go and be a little bit in the diffuse style of boundaries, and sometimes rigid and sometimes flexible. But ideally, we would be living in a flexible boundary that you can actually define and take the, you know, have the courage to have that conversation that's difficult, but really, you know, stay with that, because it helps, you know, it helps us grow, and so, it helps the other person grow.
So Joanne, let's talk now. Of course, how firm our boundaries are is going to depend on the relationship, right?
True.
And how important it is, whether, I mean, if it's, if our our boundaries, we can still have firm boundaries, but they may be more flexible with, say, we're in a situation where we're in a job and we're dependent on this job. We don't have savings to be able to leave. We may be a little more flexible on our boundaries because we need to kind of keep things copacetic.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, the sense is though that even in a job where, you know, you really need this job, you know, you're actually, when you are using a style of expressing what your needs are and what your experience is, you're not blaming the job for your overwhelm. You're actually taking responsibility for your overwhelm, and you're just sort of saying, you know, I need your help. Basically, I'm feeling overwhelmed in the job, and the job really matters to me. I don't want to lose this job. And so, but here's the thing, I can't sleep at night because I'm worrying about all the things that need to be done. Can you help me? Right? So that actually is an expression of your experience, but also that it gives the other person that you're working with a chance to have empathy for you. And there's an energy in the connection, because now all of a sudden you've got a partnership with the person you're working with.
So I need to ask, what is, because it sounds like you're saying that even if your boundaries are flexible, you're still sticking to them. So what's the difference between a rigid boundary and a flexible boundary? If it sounds like they're still, it might just be the way you communicate it, but you're still not going to change your boundary.
Okay, so the flexible boundary is, you know, where you're communicating your needs, and actually then you know, the person would give you feedback, right? So let's just continue on that same story. Let's say you were overwhelmed at work and there's a pile of files and you just, you know, it's just becoming overwhelming. And you're starting to get those physical symptoms of burnout, like you can't sleep at night, you're worrying about all the things that need to be done. And, you know, we've all been there at times, you know, life is like that. It's really a normal thing. Well, the way out of that is to express your experience and a boundary. Like, I need to have more balance in my life. I can only do so much or whatever. And so what's the best way to problem solve this? So what you do is you're describing what's going on for you, and you're inviting the other person to work with you, right? So they are also expressing their boundaries, and they're saying, well, you know, we've got all this work to be done. When I hired you, I really thought you could do all of this. And, you know, they may say, give me a second, I'm just going to go because I figured this out. So they may actually need to, problem solve how they can strategize around that. But probably chances are you're going to figure out a strategy together that bridges the problem, because you can't just kind of keep going in an unhealthy lifestyle, you know, because that anxiety and stress is going to result in you making mistakes at work, and that's not good for them. And so, you know, to take it to another sort of example, you know, last week there was that plane, I think it was United Airlines, that actually the plane was stopped, and two people that had been fighting over their boundary, the seat. Did you read about that?
No, I tend to avoid the news. So what happened?
Well, it's kind of a funny story because, you know, everybody has, you know, those moments that the not the best version of themselves shows up. But anyway, the story is these people were on a plane, and I guess somebody had got this apparatus that prevents the person in front of them from reclining the seat. And so this infringed on the boundary for the person that is sitting in front and wanted to recline their seat. So an argument ensued, and I guess it must have really escalated. And, you know, so they had to actually stop the plane, you know, and they called the police, and these two people were escorted to, to the police station, I imagine. And I'm sure right now those people are kind of going like, how did that happen? You know, how did that part of me show up that, you know, really was so tripped up on this, on my boundary? And, you know, I was thinking about this because my daughter just came back from Europe with her boyfriend last night, and they were saying on the plane that there was somebody that was sitting in front of them, and the this mother had a child, and the child was kind of, you know, kicking the seat. I guess it must have been behind. Sorry, they're behind them, kicking their seat. And so, you know, he is the nicest man, and he, of course, because he's my daughter's boyfriend. And so he said nicely to this woman, you know, could you ask your, you know, could you get your daughter to stop kicking my seat? Can you imagine, like, on the flight, how that would feel? And so, you know, she said, yes, yes, but did nothing. And then it continued, you know, and so he sat there and, you know, again, it's, you know, the kicking of the seat and what have you. And he just, you know, so that's an example of his boundaries being overstepped, because, you know, he's entitled to enjoy the flight and not have that happening. And the, you know, the woman behind him was not willing to acknowledge his boundaries were being overstepped by, you know, the daughter kicking the seat kind of thing. Now, that would be an example of boundaries getting overstepped. So when he's saying to her, you know, I really can't enjoy my flight because of your daughter, then finally, when he said that, she actually then moved her daughter to a side-lying position so that she couldn't do that anymore. And that's a great example of a healthy dialogue and two healthy people working it through. And the other example of the United Airlines flight last week, you know, is an example of when, you know, those people don't have tools at the ready. And so does that make sense?
I think so. So what do you mean, what do you do when someone, when you do set a boundary and someone doesn't respect that boundary and then you continue to mention it and then they don't? I mean, some situations it would be like, okay, just don't speak to this person anymore, remove yourself and don't put up with it. But if it's like a work situation where you need the job and you're dealing with, say, a sociopathic boss, which tends to be rather more common than you would imagine, how do you cope with that?
Well, first of all, you know, you eventually you're going to have to, you know, make a choice, because at the end of the day, like, you know, we want to be doing jobs that have a lot of meaning for us, and we need to matter in the, you know, to the people that we're working with. And you know, possibly that sociopathic boss isn't really sociopathic, but maybe just anxious or, you know, stressed out themselves, so the best version of them is not showing up. So, you know, all we can do is express what our experience is and to say, you know, listen, I'm feeling this way and here's what's happening for me. And, you know, can you help me out here? You know, is there a solution that we can work out together? And when you do that, then the boss has the option to actually adjust to, you know, partner with you in what you've described or not. And if the boss doesn't, you know, make the adjustments and the situation is continuing in that way, you'd really want to make a decision about, okay, is there a better place for me to consider working? So, you know, you're naturally going to fall into a better situation for you and your life. Because you're not going to live a long life if you're living in a very stressful relationship. You can't do your best work and you're not going to be able to make a difference. You know, so the brain research around this is really so affirming to really, you know, learning how to express your boundaries, because when you're stressed, you know, your brain is flooded in the thinking centers. Your upper cortical brain doesn't operate properly and you're just in reaction more and more, and then your whole system starts failing. You know, you start, you know, getting, you know, physical symptoms. You know, I've one of my clients, you know, just they, you know, you'll start getting symptoms like hair falling out, or, you know, you can't sleep, which, you know, eventually has a toll in, you know, really having long-term deficits to your health. You know, you're going to not live as long. So, so it's kind of, you know, communication boundaries are so important.
All right. Well, you have provided me with this wonderful outline of what we're going to cover today. And so I'm just wondering, because we're already halfway through the show now.
Okay.
How you'd like to move forward. The next thing on the list here is how boundaries are learned.
Okay, good. Yeah. So that's a really, really great question. And so boundaries are learned from, you know, our parents, of course. You know, they're our caregivers. They're our first models of how we function together in partnership with others, and how we are in our birth order as well will impact how we understand boundaries growing up. And culture also impacts. Some cultures have more diffuse boundaries, and, you know, physical and emotional boundaries, right? So, for instance, First Nations and, you know, African cultures are more collective and more diffuse boundaries. And Asian cultures as well. You know, we are living in a kind of sense of being, I'm saying I'm a lot, aren't I? I'm thinking on my feet here. But we're living in a culture, our Western culture is very individualistic, and sometimes I think, you know, we can be quite rigid and reactive in setting our boundaries rather than thinking about flexibility and, you know, being more empathic. You know, certainly a lot of the research is supporting us moving forward to really understand us as a collective. And
Sorry, that brings up a question, Joanne, that actually, and now that we're halfway through the show, I should say, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Joanne Weiler. She is the author of Break Up, Breakthrough. She's a registered clinical counselor, a registered marriage and family therapist, and we're talking about the boundaries. We're talking about the subject of boundaries, and this is the first in a series. And so you were just talking, Joanne, about how boundaries are learned and how boundaries are different in different societies.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, the in the title of the book too, the second part of it is "And Learning to Love Again." And in some ways, I wish I'd just called the book "Learning to Love Again," because this is kind of what it's about. It's actually living in a loving way. And to live in a loving way, we have to express our boundaries. And, you know, I've got to kind of care for myself in relationship before I can actually be other-focused and have that capacity to care for the other person. And so, I don't know. Do you want to use a real example? Is there something that has happened that you...
Have a question.
Sure.
You were talking about different societies and how different cultures have different types of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a culture where boundaries are a little more diffuse and flexible, would it be expected that other people would also take into account your needs? Because in our, like I was saying earlier in the hour, we all have different types of boundaries, so no one knows what our boundaries are, so we mm-hmm. have to communicate them. But a lot of times I find, because I'm a very empathetic person, and a lot of times I consider, I mean, obviously I can't guess all the time, but I consider how my request might impact another person, and yet a lot of people don't seem to consider that. So would mm-hmm. you find in more diffuse boundary cultures that they're actually considering the needs of the other person and it's more mutual?
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you are kind of you know, maintaining this diffuse boundary, what happens over time is that you'll feel burnt out in the relationship. And, you know, the other person may not have intended to be overstepping your boundaries. They've just never known what you really thought. And so, you know, that's the thing about, you know, being clear and flexible is that, you know, you're able to kind of take the risk to say, hey, this is how I'm feeling, you know, and this for some reason is happening for me, right? And I'm not being emphatic and rigid about it. I'm actually saying, you know, I just, let's just say somebody, let's use another example. Let's just say you've got a friend, a boyfriend, let's say, and he is constantly late for you. And everybody can relate to a friend showing up late sometimes. You might sort of, you know, for a while kind of go, oh, no big deal, you know. But after a while, if it's a chronic pattern, it may actually start to really bug you. And if you haven't really expressed the meaning behind that person showing up late, they really don't have a chance to get better in the relationship. And eventually you just get overwhelmed and you go, you know, like, I'm tired of waiting for you when you're always late, you know, and I'm done, right? And so a rigid boundary would be expressed as, like, I'm done, and the person doesn't have a clue what happened because that person is just rigidly saying, that's it, it's over, and then cuts off. So in that, there's a lot of pain and hurt and confusion for the other person, and there's pain and hurt and confusion for yourself because you haven't actually really expressed your boundary all the way along. So, and once you have expressed it, if the other person doesn't actually adjust for that need that you've got, then eventually the relationship is going to end because, you know, it's they're basically saying that you don't matter. So we have to matter to each other, right? And that's part of it when you express a boundary to me and, you know, I'm going to do my best to meet that need that you've got because I don't want you to build a story that you don't matter to me. You do, right? So and vice versa, it should be reciprocal.
So it sounds like you're saying if there's something, we'll take this showing up late because that is a really good example and happens quite frequently, I think. So you would express that immediately and say something like, you know, I noticed that when, you know, time, showing up on time is really important to me, and it's one of the ways I feel respected is I show up on time.
Yeah, and that really feeds our relationship. When you show up on time, I know I really matter to you. And so when you don't show up on time, you know, I tell myself all these stories. You know, I tell myself this story that I don't matter to you, and I know you don't want me to think that. Or maybe you do, you know, but, you know, so naturally when you do that, then, you know, relationships develop in a healthy way and you have ease together, right? Because you can imagine if you kind of clear that up, then, you know, the two of you can get back to just having fun together. There's no hidden, you know, frustrations that are there that haven't been expressed.
And so if people are adjusting to that boundary, and obviously, especially people who are chronically late or something, if something's a habit, you have to give people a little bit of time to adjust to that as well.
Exactly. And the thing about it is when you do, then you get back into, you know, what you call resonance together, right? You're connected. You both know that, like there's positivity between you. And so, you know, you're giving a positive, affirming message that you matter to each other. And so the brain is in a healthy state. It's producing oxytocin, this attachment hormone that makes you feel safe and secure. And your, you know, relationship is streaming, you know, ideas together because you're in a really healthy state together.
And then if the person doesn't adjust, and I mean, it's one thing if you can see they're really trying and they're doing their best, but if they're just not, they just don't care, then you move away from them.
Well, you know, you probably would see them a little bit less, and you would, you know, say, look, it really is hard for me to make plans and have this happen on an ongoing basis, so, you know, it's naturally it's going to end up sort of the relationship is going to, you know, fall away. But, you know, it saves yourself a lot of conflict because if you've got a different sort of value around that, you know, all we can do is really accept each other. So once we've really expressed our boundaries and the meanings behind, you know, whatever's happened, then, you know, you can just accept the person for who they are, and you just have to ask yourself, is this in the way for me, or like, can I live with that? And if I can, then I just, you know, adjust myself accordingly. But I'm actually really in that, you know, sense of like identifying like the, you know, on the line in the sand I was describing. So identifying the ways that I can take responsibility for that. And then I'm, you know, empowered in making a choice that, you know, I'm not a victim in the relationship at all. And, you know, and it's interesting, too, you know, talking about culture, because there are times when we can misread each other. And if we don't describe what's going on, there can be misunderstandings that are not intended. And an example of that culturally might be in First Nations culture, there's a sense of, you know, making eye contact is thought to be really familiar and almost rude, you know. So often First Nations will not make eye contact. I think that's, you know, that could be shifting a bit, but there was a famous case, actually sort of a landmark court case, where the judge actually really was really mad at this poor, you know, I think he was a teenager, that just wouldn't make eye contact with him, and the judge didn't understand his boundary of culture, where they don't make eye contact because it would be seen as being rude. But the judge actually thought that this boy was rude and was really hard on him because of that misunderstanding. So that's an example of why expressing, you know, what's going on for you is really important, and really being open to understand, truly be in the other person's shoes for what's going on for them. And with that, there's so much more ease, because, you know, those stories of rudeness or not mattering just fall away, right? When you understand that, you have insight, and you can truly accept and understand and be curious about the other person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have an example.
Okay.
So I have a friend who is chronically late. And this person, it's been, we've, you know, communicated, like, I feel like it's really important. My time is valuable. If I say I'm going to be here, it's important to me that you show up on time. And what was explained is that this person, I don't want to give away the identity, so I'll keep it mm-hmm. gender neutral. But this person has a type of, like almost a learning, it's a spatial awareness type of learning disability.
Oh.
That actually includes, for some reason, it also impacts the awareness of time.
Mm.
And so this person will lose track of time and maybe try to fit too many things in to the day or whatever. And so I have to still stick to my boundary, because I'm not going to be waiting around. But I also have to have empathy for that this person is doing their best. So what I usually do is I try to set a time that's a little bit early. Like, I'll tell the person, okay, let's meet at this time. And I'm actually getting myself ready to be a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens is that when they are on time, because they're making a real effort to be on time, then I'm running late. So it's still hard to juggle, because if I say be here at 7:30 and the person doesn't show up till 8 and I'm ready at 7:30, I'm going to be annoyed. And that's 80% of the time. So to cope with that, mm-hmm. I'm ready on what tends to be their time schedule. So, mm-hmm. but then what I generally, if that happens, I just say, well, you know, this is how I cope with it. And I give them extra credit for being on time.
Yeah, that's so nice. I just so appreciate your, you know, taking, you know, the time to sort of figure out what was going on. And you did that by asking questions. And that's such a great example of, you know, expressing your boundary and being open to understand her limitations really changed your relationship. And then you were able to strategize around that. And that's a great example of why boundaries can really help you. Because otherwise you would have, you know, if you had, let's say, taken a rigid approach to, you know, what's going on, you would have actually cut off from the relationship and missed out on all the benefits of this person, which I'm sure you enjoy her company probably, do you?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just, you know, so you can adjust around that, right? So you just take care of yourself. And when you are taking care of yourself too, that's the other thing. When you're taking care of yourself, then you'll find yourself also being more flexible and more in that third style of boundaries. So, you know, you don't take things as badly or as personally, kind of thing. So you're taking care of yourself and you're in a good brain state to ask those questions. You're basically in a healthy brain, you know. So, you know, you have more capacity to be a good friend to this other person who has a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and this person is, I mean, it's a mutual, like we have a good relationship. And I think that actually started with boundaries. This person actually can be sort of sarcastic and snippy at times. And it's just the way of showing, it's almost like affection. And I'm really sensitive. So I actually had to say, like, I can't handle it when you say mean things to me.
Yeah.
And this person actually adjusted. I mean, still, that's still the personality. And so I have to understand that. But I noticed then when I set that boundary that it was actually really respected. And this person made a real effort to watch what they say to me. And so in that, like you said, that the flexibility actually does build intimacy, because if this was a person who was just, well, that's how I am, I'm just going to be that way, deal with it, then I may still sort of see them casually, but I'm never going to trust them. I'm never going to want to be especially close.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing how they reacted to my boundary actually brought us closer together. And I respect this person much more now because of it.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, you've deepened your attachment as friends in kind of traveling through that, you know, conversation and, you know, change of behaviors together. So, and you've provided her a really nice opportunity, because probably, you know, other friends, you know, she's lost contact with because they haven't had that capacity. So, and when you do that, you know, for her, you provide her healing for her brain, and you also provide yourself healing as well. You know, you kind of got a message that you are worth it, and that she, you know, you're worth it to her to make it, you know, an effort to create some changes and strategize around getting better. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it says something about you, that she is making those adjustments as much as possible. And it says something about her that you are as well, you know. And I don't know, you know, I think we should all be a bit like that, you know, and just kind of come from kindness if we can. It's, you know, we're bound to get our feelings hurt sometimes and also feel stressed or frustrated in relationships, but we should be able to talk it through if we're able to communicate, you know, what we're experiencing. The trouble is a lot of people just don't say anything. I just, you know, I was down at a conference in Seattle and I was listening to Dan Siegel, who has, you know, written a number of books about, you know, brain, emotional intelligence. And he was talking with the Gottmans, and just about brain state and how we actually can really, if we don't think of ourselves so individually in life, right, if we think of ourselves as a collective working whole, that we really can change the world. And it does really take, you know, us doing the best we can to step up and express what's going on for us and really think about, can we make a difference for someone else by doing that? Because, you know, we all kind of, you know, mess up at times or say the wrong thing or hurt each other's feelings, but it's, you know, not usually intentional. It's usually something that's coming out of a context of what's going on in life. So,
I was going to ask you about how to handle people who aren't respecting boundaries. Are we going to talk about that in another?
Yeah,
yeah.
So okay. That we'll talk about that in depth and exactly what to say when your boundaries are overstepped. And so examples of that are, you know, when, let's say, you know, somebody's trying to get a hold of you, they call you once and you're busy, you're, you know, involved in something and you can't take the call or whatever, and then they call you 14 times until you finally pick it up, you know. So that's an example of overstepping boundaries. And what do you do? Because you do care about this person, but that's a pattern that's really frustrating for you. And we'll spend, you know, a whole hour about actually, well, if you want to. Do you want to do that?
Let's save it. We want to have people tune in. So if they want to learn about that, they can tune in to there's no show next week. But then all throughout the rest of September, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking
exactly
about boundaries. So tune in and then you'll learn about that. Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about just how it really gives you an idea of a person. If, like you said, coming from kindness, coming from flexibility, understanding that people aren't going to get it right. But if you see people making an effort, then it's totally different than if someone doesn't, which we're going to talk about. But I really like how setting a boundary, I mean, sometimes we get, I know for myself, because I'm really sensitive, and I get this, well, why didn't they consider me? Because I consider people so much. And so I assume that everyone else just lives their life that way. And, you know, as I mature and get older, I realize that not everyone thinks the same way I do, which is why I shouldn't take things so personally. It's not necessarily a personal attack on me or disrespectful. It's just that they don't function that way.
Yeah, and I, you know, I have that experience sometimes as well. And I really get that, and I bet you anybody that's listening right now can probably identify a time when you're feeling that way. And so, and when I feel that way, what I do is I kind of look at my boundaries for myself personally. So how am I taking care of myself? Like, so I try to kind of get a run in the morning before I come to work, so I'm kind of ready to bring my best version of me here. And then I try to transition at the end of the day with a walk on the seawall, so that I'm actually sort of letting go the day, so I can be ready for my husband to sort of be in my best version and not sort of like saturated with stories. And so I take responsibility for that. I try to do some playful things with my girlfriends, so that I'm, you know, really nurturing a whole life. I just, you know, I think that, you know, I really appreciate, you know, that we need to be responsible for our needs to be met, you know, and they can't all be met in one place. Like I can't expect to feel completely just fulfilled just by being at work, right? It would just make, you know, this, it can't just be about, you know, my work. It has to also have, like, you know, my relationship with my husband's really important to me, and the, you know, sort of our time together just really feeds me. And so I'm, you know, try to set around boundaries so that we can have one-on-one time together, and boundaries of time with my girlfriends as well, because it's playful and lifelong, and even just as I'm talking about them, it makes me smile, you know. And so the boundary that I think that we should think first about is ourself and our own needs, because when we do take care of ourselves in all of those parts of life, then we're able to show up in a healthy way and not misunderstanding other people. We have then the capacity to ask questions about things that they say or do, and we're able to be other focused and you know, show up, you know. So I think that the take home today, you know, the thing I really am hoping to come across clearly about is the sense that make sure that you are creating boundaries for yourself, that you're taking care of yourself, because when you do, a better version of you is going to show up in your work and with your relationships, and you'll find people are more attracted to you because you are in an ease and a kind of a joy that is just, you know, attractive and engaging, and things will go well, you know. And if you can focus on yourself first, you know, and caring for yourself, you'll find that it's easy to operate from the, you know, third style, the ideal style, which is a flexible style of boundaries, which means you're open and engaged with others, and they're open and engaged with you.
So it sounds, Joanne, like you're saying with regards to self-care and focusing on what you need is that, I mean, things, situations are going to come up. You can't predict everything. But if you have a general framework of what you need and you put things in where you need it to be, like, okay, I have 8 hours of work a day, but I also know that I need social time, I need exercise time, I need this and this, mm-hmm. then you can have a framework and prioritize, well, I absolutely have to get my run in, or I'm not going to be any good to anyone. Well, then that can help you decide and give you an opportunity to say, no, I can't stay 2 hours late tonight at work because I need to get my run in.
Yes. That's it. Yeah, exactly. And so that's when the no in drawing the line, when the end in drawing the line comes, you know, pops up in your mind. So, you know, I love acronyms because it's a great way to kind of just have a quick reference point. Whenever you feel lost in your life or lost in a relationship, what you want to do is just think about the line. Listen to the symptoms of burnout in yourself. Identify ways that you can take responsibility for change if it's needed. Make sure that you're saying no at least once a day. And when you do, you'll notice your own empathy for others goes up, your own positive energy goes up, you sort of feel joyful and engaged and less lost, you know? And so, draw the line. Yeah.
One of the things I do, too, is I used to carry my day planner with me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now I leave it at home because in the moment, if I open my day planner and there's a space, I feel compelled. It's like, oh, well, it's the space is there. So, yes, I can do it.
Yeah.
But I don't actually, in that moment, I haven't had time to really consider the energetic impact and all of that, because sometimes you need a bit more time. So I leave my day planner at home and then I always have to say, yeah, I can probably do that, or I'm not sure. Let me check my planner and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, that's such a great thing to say. Let me think about it. That's a great way of exerting your boundaries. And I so get that part when you look at your day timer and you go, oh, I've got like a little space of time. I'll fill it right up. And I think that, that's kind of a chronic pattern with life today, because there are so many distractions just generally. It's really hard to make a commitment to yourself, right? So if you had 10 minutes in your day, why not sit down and just meditate for 10 minutes or look out your window and just breathe in the world, you know, and just give yourself those healthy pauses. Because when you do that, you actually increase calm, through your whole body. Your whole system regulates, and you actually will be in a better, you'll be living a longer life, basically. And, you'll have more capacity for others. You know, there's an interesting research project that just came out of, that's just been published, and I've got it in my blog, actually, for people to take a look at. But there's some research to say that, our children are not going to live as long as we do. And I just, when I read that, I was just like, my heart just stopped, And part of it is just this lifestyle of like just having to be on constantly. It's stressful. And when we do have, an overwhelming amount of stress, then what happens is we do things like eat too much, and to cope, we might drink too much, or, there's sort of all of the addictive sort of patterns that we can turn to rather than just enjoy a pause, and care for yourself. And so this research looked at sort of, obesity rates, and just the outcome for that projects that, our children won't live as long as we are. We're actually living longer than our parents, and our longevity's gone up. But for our children, that may not be the case. So it's really, we really do have to start to be more mindful. And I think one of the great starting points for that is to draw the line, Listen to your body when you're feeling, sort of that sense of feeling lost, and really assess for yourself what your boundaries are and how you're expressing them and how you're showing up.
Awesome. Well, we have just a few minutes left in the show. Parts Unknown is coming up in a moment. And it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. Right now we're speaking with Joanne Weiler. She's a registered clinical counselor, registered marriage and family therapist. She's the author of Break Up, Breakthrough, and Learning to Love Again. You can find her at her website, joanneweiler.com. And I'm wondering if there's anything that you would like to close the show with. We're going to be back in not next week, but the week after, with more with Joanne Weiler on boundaries. What's the second module in this boundary series?
Well, it'll be about the other. So today was about the self, and the next time is about the other. So we're kind of today focused on what we can do ourselves to really empower. And next time we're going to talk about the other, what you do about that other person that oversteps your boundaries. And, you know, I'm really thinking, too, of starting a program called Coaching the Line based on, you know, boundaries. And so if anybody's interested, I'm going to do an online sort of conference call thing that people can actually join, and it'll be really reasonable cost, so that it makes it really affordable for everybody, and sort of a 3-week sort of segment that they can do as well if they want to. So they can just email me if they want to, if they're interested to find out about that, or but otherwise they're going to get lots of information on our next call about what to do about that other person that steps over the line.
All right. Well, it's just about time to say goodbye. So is there anything you want to say to listeners before you leave?
I just want to say thank you to you. I really appreciate that you are bringing great information to make it available, you know, for people to get better at their lives. And working together, I think we really can make a difference in the world. And I'm, grateful to be included in your show. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Joanne. Well, I will speak with you the week after next.
Okay, sounds good.
Take care. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Again, that was Joanne Weiler, and we will be back in a couple of weeks with another episode on boundaries. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. You can find me at spiritualshow.com, and I'm just going to close this show sending you some love. I'm just all over the place today. I just want to send you lots of love. Be well. Love you so much. Namaste.
The state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting like more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a crowd. I draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver. CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
A pioneer of extreme accordion, Portland's Miss Murgatroyd delivers her first solo performance in 10 years at the closing night of the 2014 Accordion Noir Festival. Don't miss Miss Murgatroyd with Sick Boss, Elliot Vaughn, and Elise Cheadle on Sunday, September 14th at the Orpheum Annex. Co-presented by Accordion Noir and Vancouver New Music.
I remember Miss Murgatroyd. Starfish Room, like 1998. One of the most annoying things that I've ever heard, but one of the most mind-melting things. You just have to go and see Accordion Noir to see the return of the lovely Miss Murgatroyd, September 14th. Excellent. This is 101.9 CITR. Oh, song, where have you been all my life?
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He taught me how to live my life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me. I've had friends before, and I can tell you that he's one who will never leave you flat.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He taught me how to pray and how to save my soul. He taught me how to praise my God and still play rock and roll. The music may sound different, but the message is the same. It's just an instrument to praise his name.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I tried to run and hide, but Jesus came and found me, and he touched me down inside. He is like a mountie, he always gets his man, and he'll zap you any way he can. Zap.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me when I waste my time by writing silly songs. He loves me when I'm quiet and I have nothing to say. He'll love me when I'm perfect if I ever get that way.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
That's terrific, Sal. Thank you very much. Beautiful.
Beautiful indeed, Sal. He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. He